the Institute for Democratic Education, in cooperation with Boston University Radio Institute, presents Lest We Forget These Great Americans, stories of Americans who will never die. These Great Americans, with Donald Cook as narrator. One in a series of programs designed to bring afresh to you the stories of great Americans who dedicated their lives to the principles set down by America's founders, that all men are created equal. Today, our story is about a boy who walked from the sidewalks of New York into greatness. So,
let's look at the record, huh?
Remember Al Smith? The man with the grin and the big cigar and the brown derby. He hasn't been gone from us long, but the world is a sadder place for his absence and a better place for his having lived. Al came up from the people, and he never forgot the people. Through all his 70 years, he was at heart the little boy who sold papers at the foot of Fulton Street in New York's great throbbing Lower East Side. That was in the year 1886, and the Brooklyn Bridge was still the great wonder of the world.
Papers! Get your papers here! All laid paper. Paper, Mr. Gilhooly?
Yeah, the post, son. Well, sure, and how's your father these days, my boy?
He's not very well, sir. Mom's pretty worried.
Come to think of it, you better give me a copy of The Sun and the World, too, huh?
Yes, sir. Gee, you sure read a lot of papers.
Well, a man's got to keep up with things. Say, have you seen the Statue of Liberty yet since it's been unveiled?
Gosh, yes, it looks awful nice. But, tell me, what do they want to go building a big statue for in the middle of the harbor, Mr. Gilhooly?
It's a symbol, my boy. You see, most Americans ain't really American-born, with the exception of the Indians, of course. And that statue is there is to welcome all the people who are going to be Americans to this land.
Oh, well, what's the torch mean?
Why, son, it means that Lady Liberty gets tired sometimes of holding that lamp of freedom up all by herself, and that all of us have got to pitch in and help her.
How?
By never forgetting that we're Americans only for the grace of this good land. And that if we get to fighting amongst one another like a bunch of savages, we'll lose all the liberty we came here to enjoy.
Gosh, I guess you do learn a lot by buying so many papers, Mr. Gilhooly.
You don't learn it by papers, my boy. You learn it by living, and don't let anyone tell you different. Well, give my regards to your father and mother, lad, and I hope you'll be feeling better soon.
Thank you, Mr. Gilhooly. I'll be sure to tell him. And he bought three papers.
Alfred.
What? Mrs. Cohen, where's Mom?
She had to go out.
Papa, is...
Alfred, you've got to be a strong boy now. Your mother will need you.
He's dead?
Yes, Alfred. He's dead.
Oh. I've got to find my mom, Mrs. Cohen. She wouldn't know what to do. There's no money.
There'll be money, son.
No, you don't know. Pop never made much.
Don't you worry about that, Alfred. All around you are friends, good friends. We're all poor with you, but together we'll manage.
What? Thank you, Mrs. Cohen.
Thanks? There's nothing to thank. Years ago, we all came over here so that there should be nothing but friendship and love between all of us. It's now that you need friendship and love. We wouldn't be good people if we didn't help. Go find your mother now, Alfred. She needs you.
The years went on. They were not the schoolday years of boyhood for Al Smith, for young Al was too busy working and earning first the sum of $3 a week and then the handsome wages of $8 a week and finally the bountiful salary of $12 a week with as many fish as he could eat thrown in. For this latest position was as a bookkeeper and general handyman at the Fulton Fish Market. And then...
And I tell you, good friends and neighbors, that Miner is the man to represent the Oriental District, this very district that you call home in the Congress of the United States. Miner is an honest, a fearless, God-fearing man who will carry his neighbor's wishes, indeed their very whims, into the law of this land if he is elected. And further...
If that's the case, why doesn't Miner go up and campaign in his own neighborhood? He doesn't even live in this district.
Who said that?
I did. And if you want to know the name, it's Al Smith.
All right, Smith. you got so much to say, why don't you come up here and take over the platform?
I accept the invitation. But, mister, you're just begging to lose the election.
Are you Al Smith?
That's right.
You look kind of young to be able to swing an election in one speech from the opposition's platform.
That's the best place to swing one, sir.
Well, I guess it is at that. How'd you like to go into politics, Al?
If they're honest, I'd say yes.
You think my politics are honest?
Mr. Campbell, if I didn't think so, I wouldn't have made that speech for you.
Okay, Al, this country needs young fellows to think like you. Keep thinking that way. Someday you'll be a big man in politics.
If I don't keep thinking that way, I don't want to be big. Well, Mr. Campbell, why don't I go to work?
Al Smith had begun a career that was to carry him to the candidacy for the highest office of the land. The color of Al's personality, the eternal jaunty cigar, the debonairly cocked brown derby, won him thousands of faithful followers. But his honest and great heart and feeling for the people won him even more. And then in 1911, the sound of fire sirens and the light of flames in the sky brought terror to the hearts of New York.
What's going on? Where's the fire?
The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory's on fire. The workers are trapped in there.
Yes, Mr. Rhodes, what can I do for you?
Mr. Smith, I'm nobody. I'm just a very poor man, but I've come to you because you're chairman of the factory investigating commission.
I'll be glad to help if I can, Mr. Rhodes.
Mr. Smith, my two sons, they died in the Triangle factory fire. Some people say that because we're poor, it doesn't matter.
Mr. Rhodes, I come from people like you. You're a Jew, and I'm an Irish Catholic. But if I say that your problems aren't my problems, then I don't deserve to be an American.
Then, Mr. Smith, only this favor. Will you help us to make sure that no other fathers and mothers' sons die in senseless fires like this?
You can depend on it, Mr. Rose. There'll be no more factory fire traps in this state from now on.
The people could depend on Al Smith. And in 1918...
I hereby nominate for the office of the governor of New York State, Al Smith!
As governor of New York State, Al Smith... Well...
Let's look at the record.
Now listen, Mac, that Al Smith is okay. That Workman's Compensation Act was just begging to be cleaned up. And it took Smith to come along and do it.
That Smith is a city man, but a fella's got to give him credit. Certainly helped us farmers out a lot.
He's helped housewives and working women, too. I admire Al Smith.
Me? Sure I like Al Smith. Maybe you think it's easy to pay a big rent on a small salary. Al knew it wasn't, and he fixed it.
And in 1924...
Extra! Al Smith and McAdoo tied in race for Democratic presidential nomination. Get your paper here!
Mr. Smith, I'm from the Post. Will you give me a statement on your views regarding the Ku Klux Klan?
Yes. Yes, I'll give you a statement. You can say this, young fella. If I win this nomination and am elected president, I'll fight the Ku Klux Klan. I have no use for them. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in the persecution of any man because of his race, creed, or color. I believe that this is America, where every man and woman has a right to live unmolested, no matter what nationality or religion they may claim as their own. That's what I believe. You can print that, young fella.
Al Smith lost his fight for the presidential nomination, but he never faltered in his fight against intolerance. But in 1928, he again came up for the presidency, and this time he won the nomination. But there were those who believed that a man could not hold the highest office of the land if he also held certain religious beliefs. Beliefs guaranteed by the Constitution to be the personal and sacred possession of every citizen.
I tell you people that Al Smith's religion automatically eliminates him from being an unprejudiced, unbiased president of this great nation. For that reason, I ask you to go to the polls and vote against him.
My worthy opponents seem to think that honesty isn't important. that integrity isn't important, that good government isn't important, that nothing is important but a man's national origin and religion. Well, I don't feel that way about it. I guess I'm just honest enough to think that the founders of this country were right when they said that all men were created equal and that equal rights are due to all men, regardless of their race, creed, or color. I may be defeated in this campaign solely on the basis of my religion. It is then that every man and woman in this country, Catholic, Jew, and Protestant alike, had better close the doors and bar the windows, because narrow intolerance of this sort can only lead to the further senselessness of bloodshed and violence.
Extra! Extra! Hoover wins election! Al Smith defeated for president! Get your extra paper here!
It's a terrible thing to have to lose an election on a religious issue. Though defeated, Al Smith never faltered in his beliefs.
I believe in the worship of God according to the faith and practice of the Roman Catholic Church. I recognize no powers in the institutions of my church to interfere with the operations of the law of the land. I believe in absolute freedom of conscience for all men and in equality of all churches, all sects, and all beliefs before the law as a matter of right and not as a matter of favor. And I believe in the common brotherhood of man under the common fatherhood of God. In this spirit, I join with fellow Americans of all creeds in a fervent prayer that never again will any public servant be challenged because of the faith in which he has tried to walk humbly with God.
The month was October, the year 1944. The happy warrior lay in state at St. Patrick's Cathedral as 200,000 people passed slowly by his coffin to say farewell. And all over the country, the people paid tribute to Al in Catholic churches, in Jewish synagogues, in the clean, steepled, whitewashed meeting houses of the people of all religions. They talked of building a memorial to Al, of immortalizing him in marble so that people would not forget. But the man with the brown derby was already immortalized.
He was a Catholic, and he knew persecution. But he fought against all bigotry and intolerance, whether it was against the Catholics, the Jews, or any other minority. Al will be remembered for that.
The law granting state aid to tuberculosis victims, that was Al's.
The workman's compensation law. Al worked for that.
Free maternity and infant care for the poor. That was Al's idea.
The soldier's bonus. Al fought for that 100%.
Better housing for the people. Al was for it.
And when the Nazis organized buns in this country, Al was one of the first to protest against them.
You learned early that Lady Liberty gets tired of holding up that lamp of freedom all by herself. You pitched in and helped hold it high. Yes, happy warrior, you of the wholesome grin and the brown derby and the eternal cigar, we have looked at the record. The people have looked at the record, and it is good.
This program was brought to you by the Institute for Democratic Education in cooperation with the Boston University Radio Institute. Listen in again next week at the same time to the next in our 10th series, Lest We Forget These Great Americans.